Twice this month, the Arab world has had a chance to watch their leaders at work at conferences aired live on satellite television stations. The televised meetings provided glaring examples of bitter divisions within the Arab world over the looming prospect of war between the United States and Iraq. One of the networks that broadcast those meetings, and which will be covering the war if and when it happens, is Al Jazeera, which reaches 35 million viewers in the Arab world. Joining us now from Doha, Qatar, is Al Jazeera's editor-in-chief, Ibrahim Halal. Mr. Halal, can you tell us what is your lead story today on Al Jazeera?
The political story we had today was about the Al Sumud missile destruction. And we had the press conference of Hassan Amin, the head of body responsible for the cooperation with the inspectors. We carried it live as well with commenting with our reporters inside the conference room.
Uh-huh. Are you already preparing your coverage for war?
Yeah, as far as we can, because we are not allowed to have reporters in Kuwait, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Jordan. We're still working with the Kuwaiti officials to allow us just entering the Kuwaiti territory, not to cover Kuwaiti stories, but to join the military, because we had already approval for four reporters embedded with American troops in Kuwait and Bahrain, but the problem is still with the Kuwaiti and Bahraini governments.
So in other words, you're saying the U.S. military approved four reporters, but the governments in these countries are saying your reporters can't come in? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Why are they blocking your reporters? What reason are they giving?
They already closed our office in Kuwait, accused Al Jazeera of working against Kuwaiti interests. And they are asking all media working in Kuwait not to give any help to Al Jazeera.
So then the perception is, or they believe that you would not be giving fair coverage to this war? Is that what they are?
No. Nobody can guess that we will not cover the war fairly, because we applied with British and American military to have comprehensive coverage. And we have now here in Doha the headquarters of the Central Command, so we can have live shots from inside the war itself by having reporters in the Silaya camp here in Doha. So this is not the reason.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge, huge troop presence in Kuwait, of course. How is that playing out in the Arab world?
Kuwait is exception from the Arab world because they witnessed occupation from Iraq, and it's highly appreciated by other governments and people in different Arab countries that Kuwait has full right to ask hundreds of thousands of Americans to be in their territory. This is a different case from Saudi Arabia or other countries like Jordan or Egypt. If you ask a normal average person in Egypt or Jordan about the American presence in their lands, they will not be enthusiastic.
I wanted to ask you about the coverage of the Arab League summit earlier this month and the meeting of the Organization of the Islamic Conference last week. Some very bitter, some very harsh words were exchanged by leaders of the Arab world. And what was the reaction to those meetings and the fact that people were able to watch them live on your network and others?
This is a new thing, because harsh words used to be the case in different meetings since maybe 1990. But what happened in Sharm el Sheikh summit and Doha summit, that Al Jazeera had a clean line from inside the session room, and it actually proved that the Arab leaders are divided deeply.
Has this kind of coverage then heightened the awareness of the Arab public to these deep divisions? Are they more aware now that they exist than they were before?
They are now more fed up with such meetings, and actually people are fed up in the streets. They are even fed up with demonstrations. We didn't witness demonstrations in Arab streets like we witnessed in Europe and America against the war in Iraq. Not because people are happy with the war in Iraq, but because they are fed up. They cannot influence their own governments, and they know that their own governments cannot influence the political decision of Washington.
Hmm. I want to ask you about one other thing, and that is that your network has been a vehicle that Osama bin Laden has used to air his videotapes and audio tapes. This week, we've been hearing about intensified efforts to track Osama bin Laden down, rumors that his sons had been taking. First of all, what have you been hearing about that, and how have you been reporting that story?
We heard about it from our friends in Washington. We had connections with ABC and CBS and the CNN networks, and they alerted us a couple of hours before the rumors spread in Washington and all over the world. And we actually joined our forces in different places to have extensive coverage. If he is captured, of course, people in the streets are mixed. Most of them are unhappy because of such event, if it happened. But many people in these streets, they want to witness an end of that crisis of Washington and Bin Laden.
When you get these tapes that you've aired, do they just appear unannounced, or do you have warning that they're coming? Or
some of the tapes had prayer notes before they arrived, but some of the tapes we didn't even knew about them before arriving. And I remember one of these tapes spent 2 days in one of our colleagues' drawers before we discovered it was Bin Laden tape.
And I guess there's no word that any more Bin Laden tape is coming your way right now.
No, it is still unclear that he is safe enough to do more recordings.
Ibrahim Hilal is the editor-in-chief of Al Jazeera. He spoke to us from Doha, Qatar. Thanks so much.
You are welcome. Thank you.